You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
They said you go to school, so you go to school. Then you choose a course. And sometimes there's none of you here that decide to say, okay, I know my purpose is to bring happiness to men by playing football. So because of that, I want to do a degree in playing football. Your parents will sack you from the house because they don't seem to see what is the outcome in the immediate. All right. So when you think of, oh, I'm doing a degree in this field, they see money. This field, they see money. So all of us, we are sitting here, money controls everybody. Money controls everybody. You pay money to sit down in school and study so hard, not because you like to study, but because of the outcome at the end. That is why you are like that. Because if you love studies, then it means that you have read your Bible very well. You get to know whether if you love something very well, when you do not need supervision or the least supervision to do it. Whatever that you need so much supervision to do, you don't love it. That's why school is called discipline. I mean, this discipline. Because you are not, you don't like it. You are forced to do it. When you can read more books when you finish school, it means you are an educated person. When you can't read more books when you're not in school, you're just illiterate. Are you following the love of God?
Yes, sir.
People are choosing partners based on money. Money decides who to choose. It's money. It's money. So the guy walks into the room and there's no unique or special aroma coming from his body. He's not a candidate in the first place. That's from a shallow view, he's not a candidate. But if a guy, whether he stole the perfume from his uncle or his brother, sprays, looks good and enters a place, look well, you know, presented, he's begin to become a candidate. Money, you know. So money is so powerful that, you know, the saints of old place so much emphasis on loving God and hating money that poverty now became our friend. And by reason of poverty too, the gospel is limited in expression. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? So the rich man is so possessed. He feels that he possesses money, but actually money possesses you. You want to know the extent to which money possesses you is how you feel when you have to give your offering, your tithes. That's when you know the degree of possession that money has over you. When you struggle to part way with money for the things of God, it shows the degree that you're actually conducting a test on yourself to know how far money controls you or you control money. When all that you have in your purse is 10 cedis and there's a 1 cedi, and you can say, Lord, take the 10. I know you make a way to get home. Then at that moment, you should see that God is becoming indeed the Lord of your pocket. Are you getting the whole idea here? So Christ now, so when Christ made that statement, the apostles said, then who can be saved? This thing is too difficult. Jesus Christ said that with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So there is man mentioned here. There is God mentioned here. In the region of man is impossibility. In the region of God is possibility. Are you with me? In the region of man is what? Impossibility. So man is saddled with a certain experience called impossible. Because man is incapable. But in the region of God, all things are possible. Are you following the will of God?
Yes.
Now, in Matthew 17, 27, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, now chapter 17, from the beginning, is the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. So we see that Jesus Christ takes Peter, James, and John and ascends a mountain. And as soon as they get to the mountain, Christ is communing. And instantly, Moses appears and Elijah appears. Now, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Now, Jesus Christ is in the middle, meaning that, as the Bible says, you see it in several places, the law, meaning Genesis, Exodus, down to Deuteronomy, all right? All the laws and all those things that are there, Moses represented them. And then we have the prophets. So the prophets, you can begin from Maybe the major, we call them major or minor, not because that some are more unknown than the other, but when they look at the canonization of scriptures, There are some that have volumes than others. That is why they say that this is a major prophet, this is a minor prophet. So Obadiah is as powerful as Ezekiel, just that Obadiah has just a few verses. And then Ezekiel has a whole book there. Isaiah has a whole book there. Zephaniah has a few. Malachi has a few. Habakkuk has a few. How many read Habakkuk this morning before coming? Nahum. Micah. Hallelujah. There are some books that if God doesn't have mercy, the whole year they won't see your face. Yeah, Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah. Malachi, when it's dies, you appear there. Zechariah. Of Zephaniah, forget all. Zephaniah, it's not near as that, so don't go there. Hallelujah. All right, so Moses appears and Elijah appears. So Moses represents the laws and Elijah represents the prophets. And then the Bible says that, you know, several places say that the laws, that's the laws, the Pentateuch, Moses and the prophets, they all spoke concerning Christ. So in Christ, the law and the prophets are perfected. He's the perfection of all. They all point to him. The law points to him. The prophets point to him. They all prophesy to him. He's a revelation and the meaning of all these two aspects. They have no meaning until Christ comes. Now, when you don't see Christ, Genesis looks like a storybook. When you don't see Christ, Exodus looks like some people that were living someplace. But when you see Christ, you realize that Moses is a typology of Jesus Christ, referring to you that we were once bound in sin and iniquity, and the Savior was sent to set us free. And you see Pharaoh as representative of the devil. So you see Christ in the pages of the scriptures, right from Genesis to Revelation. He is the theme of the Bible. When you not encounter Jesus, you think the Bible conflicts. The Bible is not for sensible people. It's for faithful people. The Bible only makes sense when faith has taken the lead. Somebody sent me a question one time. He said, sir, I read it here this way. This is what the Bible is saying here. I read it here. It's like there's a confusion in the Bible. I said, don't ever have that mindset in your life. When there's no light, try and error. Probability is what is the perspective towards interpretation. But the Bible says, in thy light, we shall see light. Say, for with these, the fountain of life, and in thy light, we shall see light. So until a man comes to encounter Jesus Christ, you don't have the light with which we used to go through scriptures. Is that you following me? Are you here? Praise God. That's why you must know Jesus. When you don't know Jesus, there are many things I've read in the Bible for years. And I've never wanted to say, Lord, your word there's a problem with your word. What I realize is that it's an issue of intimacy. It's an issue of intimacy. There are things that God cannot entrust into your care when it comes to God's word, because what he sees is showmanship, not living it. So he will show it to you. There's no confusion in the Bible. The Bible is one of the most perfect books. Very perfect, as literal as this. Very perfect. And sometimes when I hear people say, oh, the Bible's not perfect, then I ask, how many times have you read the Bible? Somebody has read the Bible for just 1 year, he said there's an error in the Bible. People have read the Bible for 40 years, and they tell it's perfect. He said, no, it's not true. Give yourself to the state of the word. When you give yourself, you are not giving yourself. It's one thing to go to the word of God to seek questions, to dispute the word of God. Another thing to go before God's word to see him in the word. You realize that everything makes sense in the scriptures. It's so beautiful. Are you following the will of God?
Yes, sir.
So Moses and Elijah appear. And then a voice comes. The father speaks. Oh, quickly. Very, very. Come on with Peter. Ah! What a wonderful atmosphere. Jesus, we're not going down again. Let us just build quickly. For building, though I'm a fisherman, but for building, I learned a little bit of that. We can do that quickly. Just three. 1, 2, 3. Tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of Elijah, tabernacle of Supreme Jesus. Bodyguards Peter, bodyguards James, bodyguards John, and we are fine with that. Now, Jesus did not endorse that because, people of God, you are not born again to be irrelevant in the earth. You are not rapture ready, heavenly ready, and earthly irrelevant. Spirituality does not make you senseless and foolish. You are the height of your intelligence when you are spiritual. Spirituality does not make you irresponsible. So it does not make sense when a believer is in school and you say that I didn't do well because I was doing God's work. You have betrayed the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because when the world is staying hours to study, the believer, because you have stayed with God, your senses are sharpened such that they will spend 6 hours to study. You will spend 1 hour to study. Not that you're a lazy person, you're diligent. And you come at first class, then you say, wait a minute, we don't, you're always busy with the things of God here and there, but you still benefit God. How do you do it? That is how it should be. So if you fail because you are doing God's work, you did not allow the intelligence of the Spirit to take over your mind. That's it. Christian doesn't make you a fool. It makes you wise. Your intelligence is high. It's in full capacity. Papa Adibo, he was doing his PhD in mathematics. That's the founder of Redeemed. And one time he had to go for a crusade. And they changed the examination dates and it clashed with the crusade dates. So he had to choose between crusade and the examination. He sat down quietly, said, "Seek ye first the kingdom." And he left. At least he was a dangerous student. People knew that he was good. He was good. So I'm not talking about, you see, spiritual doesn't make you lazy. It makes you hardworking. If you are a lazy Christian, let's check the Christ in you. But the book of Mark reveals the diligence and the hard work of Christ. The book of Mark is the book that describes the ox dimension of Jesus. The oxen dimension of Jesus is hard work. The book begins with work, finishes work very fast, 16 chapters, but plenty work. Christ is a hard worker. So you cannot be praying in tongues and you are lazy. Something's wrong with your Christian life. I don't know if you like what I'm sharing with you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
And so he went for the crusade. Went for the crusade. When he came back, his colleagues were like, Enoch, hi. The way you were writing, I was calling you, you were writing my name. You're just busy, right? All of us were struggling with that question. You were just writing. I signal you just to help me, but you didn't mind me. I don't know why you can wicked like that as a Christian. They can't help a brother doing an examination law. He didn't talk because he knew he was not there. So who was not writing that paper? So he was quiet. He didn't see anything. And when the results came, people were congratulating him. Man, Shaku. Everybody, only you. A+. So he didn't say anything, he was smiling. Then he went to the board and saw his name, the A+. So he said, God, what happened? He said, I sent your angel on behalf to write to me. Because you chose me. Christianity doesn't make us irrelevant. We are very, very, very relevant. So Christ says, you're not meant to stay here. That's why you cannot stay home, pray 24 hours and not step out. Your light must shine in darkness. So when you are enlightened, step out and light others. That's how it is. So don't stay up there. They came down. So when they came down, while they were there enjoying that beautiful encounter, there was a problem happening at the foot of the mountain. So a man breaks a boy who has the challenge, and then because he knows these other nine, they are disciples of Christ. And those days, if you're a disciple, it is not just by talk, it is sin. That is why when Jesus Christ was arrested, you know, and Peter was sitting around, a young lad could say, you're one of them. Because in those days, a disciple mimics the master. You mimic the master. So it's not an issue of, like our dates, I'm a Christian. No, you don't. When we see, we know that this one, you're a Christian. We can tell. This morning, we were at the airport, and then while we're waiting for some few things to be done there, we saw, you know, a number of people coming like that. And I told my wife, that's a lot of these things, people. So how do you know? Say they wear black tie, black trouser, and then they have everybody has their name here. So I said, look, now I didn't have to see them well, but from afar, their appearance knew that they are in latter days. That's how I saw it, by their appearance. So those days, you can easily tell, this is a disciple of John. This is a disciple of Jesus. This is a disciple of this person. You can see, because even their outfit, you know, in our days, now that you're a believer, we are still fighting why you are dressing this way. We are not saying that. You see, there's a way you cannot talk. Because as a disciple of Christ, you can't talk that way. In the Bible, and Adam knew Eve. If you don't understand, you read the Bible, you see why, what the new mean. Because after they knew, then came something. They were okay. It's a knowing. The Bible calls it knowing. So as a believer, you just can't talk anyhow. Because you are a follower of Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. Without you talking from afar, they see and no. The Bible says concerning Peter and John, they looked at them, observing them. Said, these guys are illiterates. Where from this boldness and wisdom? So having understood that they had spent time with Christ and they saw the effect of Christ on them. So if you are a disciple of Christ, you don't have to say it. You don't have to mention a Christian name. When they look at you, because they have an idea of Christ. That's why the world is in darkness, so they can tell when you're light. Why are they calling yourself mommy when you're not born again? You don't know him, but they know what life is like. Yes, but you're doing like we are doing. How could you do that? They know. So Christians are not getting it. They want to be like them so you can save them. You are becoming them.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you being blessed?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I've not even got what I'm talking about. These are commentaries. These are commentaries. We'll talk about something I'm talking about. Hope you are being blessed.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Are you following the love of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so you're a disciple. I can tell when someone is a Catholic. I can tell when someone is a Presbyterian. I can tell when someone is a Methodist. I can tell when someone is charismatic. Proper charisma, not the one they are trying to do it. Because charismaticism comes with noise. They make noise. That's a Catholic. Don't you check it out? Pentecost was noise. The charismatics are noisy. We are noisy, but we make news. We are living being. Do you get a point? Acts number 2. When the place God does noise. So when you come to church and you are glucose, you have to check and see where you belong to. There's a quickening spirit. It won't allow you to be quiet. It allows you to shout. It allows you to be excited. You write them down notes and you are receiving the word. That's what's going on. That's how we do. Yeah. Praise God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I can tell. When I see the way you are comported, and yet when we close and open the door for you, are changed. What kind of life is that? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Some people that will speak, when you see them in church, and you hear what they say outside, you look at them, you try to, it's like it's cut and paste. It just doesn't make sense, because it doesn't just beat up. Are you from the love of God? You just continue. So, the disciples, so be a true disciple, amen.
Amen.
Be what? A true disciple. Must be a disciple.
Yes.
Every time the police will stop me, they say, something like this, are you a man? I say, Sofo. They say, Reverend, Papa. So one day I asked one of them, I said, I don't know who was a Juma. Why? They know the characteristics of how a pastor sounds. By reason of constant talking, your voice is husky. They can tell. Amen.
Yeah.
So don't confuse the faith. You as a sister, you cannot dress and reveal your breasts. It's not part of the, you're not a disciple of Christ. See why Christ didn't have any woman as a disciple? I heard a man of God once say something that so touched me. So just imagine a young 33-year man that had women in his discipleship team. What would he say?
Hey.
He's not married. So I see that Christ is so wise.
Very wise.
If he had had women as the con disciples, and then the premium three were women. This one that they have climbed transfiguration. He's going to transfigure. Time you come back now, you have known them.
Special three.
His assignment didn't allow him to have a physical life, but a spiritual life.
Hallelujah.
Which is the church.
Hallelujah.
There's a reason. So don't let anybody confuse you. There's a reason. Christ didn't want any plenty talks behind. You see Mary Magdalene coming from his room.
Wow.
And you know that among his people, they are the ones who will talk.
Yeah.
Judas, for example.
Hey.
Then ask Peter, we have to talk about somebody. This every time, this prostitute, just keep coming from his room.
Hey.
We have to talk now to avoid matters. Else it would be easy for the Jews to find a case against him. But they scanned him. They couldn't find nothing. He who knew no sin. There was a reason. Are you with me? Let's jump. Let's continue. So these guys, they were told that, disciples of Christ. Christ raised the dead. Christ healed the sick. Christ does so. This is a small challenge. Oh, yeah, do something. And Thomas is dead. Come out. Judas said, out now before I go for my next money. You do everything. And there's confusion in the camp. Christ descends. What's happening here? My son is not for I brought him to your disciples. In other words, they have disgraced Christ. And which is not so strange to some of us in our generation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that, Jesus, that he said that all power has been given to me. Go in my name and heal the sick. And we can't even heal a sick. And we're not ashamed about it. Just a few years ago, in the 90s, our church in Kumasi, it came to a point in time that, these things I'm teaching, we're teaching them like this. Came to a point that people that had members of the rich home in their houses, they were the doctors of the house. When anybody falls sick, they say, let's go to this brother. From that guy, this is what they think. They'll take them there and they'll pour him. And the person will be well. You can't. There was no dominator member in any community that allowed anybody to die. And that popular story of five bishops and us. When the secretary of the witch, he said that even if God comes down, we'll have the meeting, he said, that's an insult to God. When I'm around, there are things that God does, there are things we do for him. I get the whole idea.
Yes, sir.
Father, I refuse to disgrace the kingdom. He says it's not a religion. It's a life. If somebody's confused, they must come to you and talk to you. You're a man of wisdom. Not because you have read that material, but there's a wisdom that abides in you. There's a knowledge that abides in you. There's an advanced knowledge inside of you. The Spirit of God has searched all things here. The deep things of God abides in you. The custodian of eternal wisdom abides in you. So when you utter 1, 2, 3 verses, I didn't see it in that light. Thank you for giving me understanding. So you're welcome. This is what we need. Oh, this is our main work. We deal in matters of confusion. That is it. And in this case, these guys didn't do that. So Christ now handles the situation. Now, they came and said, sir, please. Because we realize that it's the same words you use, what you have told anyone. Yeah, can you? Reminds me of Gehazi. When Elisha gave him his rod, the guy went, placed the rod, the boy died deeper. Something was wrong. So Christ now diagnosed. Remember we said earlier, there is God, there is man. In the region of man is impossibility. The region of God is possibility. Are you following the will of God?
Yes.
Now, he says, Jesus now said, this is your problem. This is the diagnosis. He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be moved. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Remember, though there's God in the realm of possibilities, nothing threatens God. Nothing threatens God. Nothing. Everything is possible for God. When the wine was finished, come on. All we need is water, and there shall be wine. As to whether the water became wine or the water tasted like wine, there was wine. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, before him, there's no man who pause my pause. Doesn't matter if there's a pause in your life, you play you. I follow God. There's nothing impossible to God. He's not a man that he should lie, the servant that should repent. Everything is possible before God. There is no obstacle before him. Even if God opens the windows of heaven, it's not how. And a bag of rice can be 5 cities. Say, so you will see by no taste of it.
Yeah.
Then God supply through very unreasonable sources. Men whose fingers, whose hands can't hold, were the ones that were holding substance.
Wow.
Or pick it from somewhere. He has where to come from. It's in the realm. God is not threatened by what you call impossibility. He is possibility. That's the realm. But the realm of man is impossibility. But Jesus Christ says something here. Now, he said, when you have faith, faith is the only spiritual agency by which you are lifted from the realm of man, which is the realm of impossibility, to come the realm of all possibility. It is faith that brings you to that level. Are you with me, of God?
Yes,
it is faith. It is faith. Why is this happening to me this morning? We're talking about something. One of my younger brothers had to do a certain course. I said, go and register. The fee should be paid. It is a fee. And then, first not been paid. Then she was like, ah, honey, I'm so and so dates. See how this coming. I said, oh, we'll pay. And she said, you are courageous. You have courage. It's great.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We do not wait for the wind or the clouds to gather. There is one that made the wind and made the clouds. We sow in him.
Hallelujah.
And believe in him. It's faith. It's not boasting. That's what I've kept saying. A lot of us are so glad about deep insights and yet are shallow. Depth of revelation is not in talking, it's in living it. Faith. It is faith. That lifts you to come to the realm of God. And then what God is enjoying is called possibilities. You walk in that realm. Are you following the will of God?
Yes, sir.
I'm the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Are you still here with me?
Yes, sir.
I always like sharing this testimony because personally, that was a practical demonstration of faith. The school where I had my first degree, the fees was very expensive. The fees was like 5 times my dad's salary. First year, saved you. Second year, it was well. I got home, good break time. It was almost time to go to school. I told my dad, so fees. I said, it is well. And I told my dad, now you see, I'm not just a pastor's child who was forced to church. I'm a pastor's child who met Christ.
Lord.
Who lost church.
Hallelujah.
I told my dad, I said, my going to that school is no mistake. It was a divine orchestration. The God that watched me to enter them paid the fees. He got to my flight. I flew down to the city, went to the school. People were paying their fees. I was in my room. I didn't pray about it. What I said to my father is the prayer. After about two or three days, my mom calls me. So have you checked your account? I said, what's happening in my account? So your fees have been set. I said, how did it happen? I said, yeah, if I will call you. And I read the story. How that the governor of a state drove to a civilian's house. As he has heard of my father, he went from the scene. And when my dad was then dishing the man out. My dad is not this kind of pastor that he'd be an MP in his church. Be pumping because you're empty. We'll give you front seat. Front seat, then you have it. And it's so I can easily assess you.
Yes.
When we are speaking, we won't give examples. You know what I mean? So you sit here where our hands can reach you.
Yeah.
David, let's try. Come sit here. MP4. Or you are Minister of Finance. You say, no. And let's ask you that. President. Oh, President. And I'm going to you. Mr. Nepa. You can be the President of Ghana. If you are messing up, who tell you? Who tell you? You cannot, you can disgrace us. How can you do that? You want to dress him? By the time we do that to you, and you go to the office by Monday, you start thinking, well, most pastors are free because you're empty. Empty is what? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So the governor came after my dad was done telling him his mind. The man knelt down and laid hands on him. The man said, how can I come to the brother's house and go empty on him? And not, and you sow a seed. The man sow seeds. So every, even those ones that people that came to the house by mistake, God's seed.
Wow.
Good seed.
Wow.
So that was how my feast was made.
Wow.
A person in that country, now, governors don't enter civilians' house. But a young boy believed his father God enough that if he sent me there, then he paid the fees. It's as simple as that. And then God said, no, I'll pay this fees in a grand style. I will send somebody.
Yeah.
to the house. You leave that, your father will dish him, he'll give up money.
Yeah.
That's how God works. I told him some very generous thing. I was telling somebody, I told him, brother, you see, you don't have to wait when God has given you the woman. I said, wait a minute. So why are you bypassing the key that opens the door of favor and try to open the favor door? Because he that findeth a wife has found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. So if you are broke, that's when to marry.
Yes.
Except the Bible is wrong, and it cannot be. He said that he that findeth. So the thing is that find first.
Yes.
If you don't find wife and you find knife, you're in trouble. I would be. But he that findeth a wife has found what? A good thing. And has obtained the reward of finding a good wife is favor.
Hallelujah.
And it is favor that gives an end to labor. You get the whole idea. So if I'm in a single room and I have found a wife, there is no how that I'll be living a single for the rest of my life. Because I have found a good thing, and the reward that comes with that is the favor of God. It's simple as that.
Yes.
Some of you want to build house first. You want to build house, buy car, buy this. You cannot get you buy it. When you price the car, they will increase it. Do you get the whole idea?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Some of you have told yourself that, you know, when I finish UPSA, you know, I work for about 7 years.
Hey.
You know, buy a land, start building. When I finish building, I need to build a 2 million apartment. No, I'm not married. We meet in heaven. We're not having the bride and groom's class of the Lamb of God. You want to say, no, go to that, go to service class. Yeah, because you'd have had your morning lectures on earth, on intimacy, by marrying. It's a school. Marriage is a school. It's not for pleasure. It's to give you ideas of what the intimacy is between the bridegroom and the bride of his church. So give you a foretaste of it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following the will of God?
Yes, sir.
So faith brings you that realm. All right? Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Faith is a currency. It's a currency. It's more powerful than dollar or pounds. Faith is a currency that you know is extra. Are you kidding? Is that Avengers you're wearing? Amen. Praise God. You can have faith. Hallelujah. I know the dollar is beginning to rise now. And then somebody said, oh, man, I was thinking about you. I just sent you, I've sent you some $10,000. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That's how faith is. Take a man of faith, place him in the worst of places, you become the best in that place because of faith. That's how it works. A man of faith cannot be boxed. A man of faith cannot be limited. A man of faith cannot walk in shame. A man of faith, no, he's not a talkative. He's one who's a proof of the living Christ. He's a follower of God. The difference between maybe me and you, or you and me, our experiences in the kingdom because of our faith levels. It's not our faith levels. God is not partial. The same grace. Think about it at the conference. 2 Peter 1. The same precious life faith. The same faith. Not different. The same faith. The same faith. But the investment into faith is what makes the difference. Not the work. It's the investment into faith. The investment to faith that makes it different. The investment to faith. The investment to faith. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.